Back to meetings tonight, and I need to be downtown at 7:30, so that means I need to leave here about 10 after 7. So I'm going to move real fast. Forgive me if I'm kind of abrupt, and if we don't finish, someone can pick up where we left off. So let's jump the first item, the financial report. Any new faces here? I don't think we have any new faces, do we? Nope. Let's go to the financial report from Brian.
Okay. Great, thank you. So in the interest of time, I won't go too much into detail here. Overall, the picture still looks good. We're at 12% operating margin right now. We broke our goal of days cash on hand. We're at 91. And again, this report is as of the end of December, which is 50% through the fiscal year. Enrollment's holding steady. Our cash balance is increasing. Overall, revenues are 49%, expenses at 51%, so that's looking great. There, in our finance meeting that began at 5, we discussed in detail the following few pages there in your packet. Like I said, I won't go too much into detail there, but look through it. If you have any questions, definitely let myself, Patricia, or Lofio know, and I'll be happy to discuss that more in detail. A couple of items from the state finance meeting that happened last month. Projections are looking good for next year. We're looking at an increase of about 2.5% in the local replacement factor, which is about $57 per student. The WPU is also projecting to be great, about 5.5% increase. That's unofficial. It could settle at 4.5% or 5%, but that would still be a fantastic increase, particularly considering that, remember that WPU is about 47% of our state revenue. It'll be a pleasure to put together next month's budget when that time comes. Probably March at some point, probably beginning, middle of March, I'll start putting together a preliminary budget for next year, and we'll work through that as the next few months go, and that will need to be approved by June. I think the date is the 21st, I'll have to double check, which means it probably will happen in May for us, since our board meeting is later in the month. But we should be more than ready by May anyway. So, questions?
Days cash on hand over the last 12 months, is this 90 about, is that a kind of a steady position? Or
steadily increased over as time has gone.
Over the last year, what would the low have been?
Gosh, I'd have to look. We were probably in the
70, 80?
Yeah.
Okay. Will there become a point where you think we're safe in leveling that off and not going above 100, 110, 120?
You know, in my opinion, having more cash on hand never hurts. But remember, 91, it's our goal is 60 to 90. That goal should probably be increased to 120 to 150, I think, for next year. Remember, 90, I mean, it's only 3 months. Days cash on hand. It's not a lot, in my opinion, but we could certainly look at doing that.
Do you see schools that have been around longer than we have up at that 120 range?
Not often.
Because they decided not to, or they just don't have the luxury of being there?
Both. I see both.
I think part of what you want to think of as a school, too, if you're thinking in the long run to do the state enhancement program for your future bonds, mm-hmm. your S&P medians are going to be up in that range, though. 120, isn't it about that right now?
Yeah. You want to be there for the size of school.
So you want to be at least 120 when you refinance for that. So,
thank you, Jeremy. Took the words right out of my mouth. Good. That's the thing I was going to mention was considering where we at with financing on the horizons, the more the better with state special.
Yeah. Especially if you're going to try to expand.
Yeah.
You're going to eat some costs. That startup school gets certain state funding that in the duplicating school doesn't get that. So you're going to want more cash in the bank to offset some of those one-time costs.
Okay. And we're about halfway through the fiscal year right now.
Well, as of this report, yeah.
Why are we so low on the local and federal revenue?
Federal revenue, the main reason is because those reimbursements typically aren't requested until now, and they don't come in until February or March. And so later in the year is when we see those forecasted revenues realized. Local revenue.
They're not requested monthly?
No.
Oh, quarterly?
They're twice a year.
Just twice a year.
Yeah. In January, we'll request the beginning of the year through December 31st, typically. Certainly, if a school is in a position where they need the cash, we can do those requests sooner. But with how things have been working lately with the state and UCA, which is the system by which we request the reimbursements, right now, I mean, they're still working through the kinks of the application that was filled out at the beginning of the school year. So even if we wanted to, we couldn't have until now.
Okay.
So.
All right. Anything else?
That's all I have.
Any questions for Brian? Thanks a ton.
Thank you very much.
We'll dismiss you.
Yeah,
you
thank you.
Other commitments.
Yeah, sorry I got to run, but I appreciate the time. And definitely, like I said, let me know if there's questions. Jeremy from Red Apple will, I think, hang out and...
For a little while, yeah.
...represent me.
Good. Let's go to the next item from Dave.
Good evening. So a couple of things we wanted to review today is we've been working with Elogio and Jeremy to collect some information on the school, part of this understanding of credit strengths and moving along in the financing. So what we have here, I don't know who all wants a copy, if you guys can take one and pass it along, that would be great. On issuing bonds, there's two major ways of doing it for a school. I don't know if you want to pass anyone else who's not here, Juan, too. There's two different ways of issuing bonds for a school in your situation, both being kind of a newer school, and then there's a couple different things that we look at. When we're looking at putting a credit summary together on the school, we look at three things, kind of how is your enrollment, wait list, kind of what that shows the interest and intensity of the school. We look at the finances to say, okay, what kind of trajectory, are you guys living within your budgets and within your means? Having 91 days of cash on hand for a younger school, that is a very big credit positive. It shows good strength there. And the third thing we look at...
And is 90 days mediocre or pretty good or a little
excellent.
Wanting? Yeah?
That's excellent, yeah. And then the third thing we look at is academics. Just looking at... Because people look at the school for the culture of the school, what kind of draws people there, but they also look at academics because that's going to... Some people say that that's going to drive maintaining enrollment and an interest in the school. So you guys are a unique school where you have you have a very unique culture here, focusing on the Latino community. But that also, you can see the interest out there with the mariachi band. People love that community feel and the support there. And so right now, I think you understand and acknowledge that academics have been a little bit on the lower side, but improving. But that's being offset by the strong community that you have, and that's just a part of what the life and the focus. But that's one reason Esperanza is here, is to focus on that community and helping them improve. So with that, looking at that, just to be blunt.
So how do we how do we explain the sort of baseline, the format, the context in which our and the basis for our less than ideal academic numbers right now when we present to the decision maker?
So a couple of things that we've been doing, working with Lokio and Jeremiah, is collecting information on the strength of the school, so financially, because that just shows that you guys have enrollment, that you have, so the enrollment side and the wait list shows that there's interest and demand for the school, that you guys are doing something right. And so that's one thing, that's a telling factor, that's a barometer of...
So we have the other factors that can kind of overcompensate, but on that particular factor, do we leave that alone or do we try to explain it?
No, we very much... So that's one thing I've been working with the underwriters. Your underwriter is D.A. Davidson. I've been working with them over the past 10 days, collecting information from state websites, from the school, of showing, okay, you guys started off as an F school here a couple of years ago, but you've already improved that to a D. And then you're also, how do you compare to other schools in the area, as well as other kind of breaking out the different factors that make up a school and kind of demographics. And so we've been working showing that how you compare to other schools and you compare favorably to that. So like a direct comparison is like dual immersion. You guys are ahead of dual immersion. So that shows that you're making progress there. So those are the types of things that on the surface, that's what we've started with, is looking at, okay, what are the state data showing on how you're comparing to other schools?
And those potential bond issuers, have you had experience in pitching that kind of a challenge before?
Not to this degree, no.
So, okay, that would be novel then.
Yeah, so but you guys are unique schools. This, yeah. This isn't one that's all the time.
So one of the things that we've been looking at is our lower grades versus our upper grades.
Mm-hmm.
Because the model that we're using, we inherited a lot of students that didn't have language skills when they came in either English or Spanish.
Or math.
Yeah. But so I'm especially concentrating on language because it affects math, science.
Right.
And those upper grade students only had a 50-50 model, came in with scores from SAGE that were already low.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those we've been able to improve, but that group is going to always kind of hurt us.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like you're looking at Esperanza in those lower grades,
mm-hmm.
and looking at the wider community in the upper grades.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if that's an avenue of argument or explanation for that they need to consider.
Yep, so one thing, and so going back to Marty's question, you guys are unique because of the focus and the demographic here. I've worked with schools that have are on par with their other competitive schools, and so compete, and we've been very successful in there, just showing what's the community and the drive. And so, in other words, saying you guys are outperforming your competition. And I've worked with schools who have been in similar situations, just on different parts of the spectrum. So you guys are going to be more unique because you're non-rated, meaning you guys are an early school. You're going to have the opportunity to talk to investors. So we'll do site visits and we'll do road shows, and there'll be an opportunity to share the information on saying, okay, this is what the test scores show, but let's break that down a little bit of saying, okay, on these grades, this is why. On these grades, this is why. And you'll have the opportunity to explain that, and that'll be well received because of the culture.
So we'll present in this proverbial roadshow to how many different potential issuers?
Potentially, they'd be between 10 and 20 who'd be interested, and that would be potentially interested.
And would that be then 10 or 20 different visits, or would they be consolidated in one presentation?
I've seen it all over. On the school we did last year, there were, I think, three or four site visits, and then on the phone we probably had another five.
Okay.
And then some people will just take the information and digest it on their own.
Okay.
So
sorry.
Nope, you're fine. So that leads me into there's two different ways of selling these bonds. One, and I'll kind of review this, is what we refer to as a public offering. And that's where we prepare all the information and you go out to the public, and during an order period they submit their interest to buy your bonds. And on that kind of situation, you could have between 10 and 20 buyers. On your size of transaction, be a little bit smaller, you'd probably be closer to 10. Where if you do a direct placement, that's where we target it, and you probably have like one buyer. And so on a public offering, you're issuing bonds over a 30-year period of time. So you're going to have a fixed rate for a 30-year period of time. You've locked in your interest rate. But you're also, because you're doing over a 30-year period of time, your average life, or the way to look at it, is going to be over more of a 30-year period. So your interest rate is going to be a little bit higher. And so out of the gates on balancing all those three things I mentioned earlier, the early indication is your interest rate is going to be closer to 6%, 6.25%, just trying to offset some of the academic pull. If you did a direct placement, there's indications that interest rate would be closer to like between 5 to 5.75%. And so because you're...
I'm sorry, versus...
6 to 6 okay. and a quarter. The reason is you're just focusing on a 10-year period. So the 30-year deal, I like that because you have a 30-year deal, you're fixed, you don't have to do anything for that for the period of time. If you do a direct placement, they still amortize the debt over a 30-year period of time, but there's different ways of doing it. You can do a 5-year or a 10-year, so ones that I've closed here, they do a 10-year fixed rate with a 5-year option to restructure it, and then at the 10-year mark, then there's a reset in the interest rate at a predetermined formula. And so the reason I like that option is if we are improving our finances, if we are improving the academics, and if we are doing certain things to improve the school, then let's do this direct placement, because it gives you more flexibility. You can consider changes in the options, and you have a lower debt service payment on that option. And so it's kind of so if you look at it, assuming kind of like that six and a half range, your estimated debt service payment on a public offering would be about $635,000 for your takeout. Or if you did a direct placement, assuming interest rates kind of in that mid fives, your interest rate, your debt service payment could be $575 to $610. And so you can see that the pros and cons of going either way. The reason the cost of issuance on a public offering would be a little bit lower than potentially in a direct placement, depending on which route you go, there may be more representation from the bondholder, and so that would potentially have more cost potentially, but we won't know that yet. And they both have about the same runway to closing, which would be about 2 or 3 months from now. So I don't know if we have enough board members to have this final discussion, but this is the kind of direction we need to know on how to start drafting documents and what path we want to target is. Do we want to do a full public offering, have a 30-year fixed rate deal, or are we focused more on have a 10-year deal, a little bit lower cost, knowing we're going to improve our position and kind of restructure these bonds in the next 10 years.
So we improve our situation, our enrollment looks solid, the finances look solid, we refinance in 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
What should we expect in 5 years in terms of a rate relative to these two?
So if we could continue on the same path that we are today, maintaining strong enrollment, strong wait list, and improving like some of these metrics days of cash on hand, and if we are really going to be strong there, then we could potentially, we'd have to really improve our, the big carrot out there is qualifying for the credit enhancement program, where the state actually, they don't get the full guarantee like a school district gets, but you get a moral obligation from the state to back it. If you can qualify for that, then you can get to below 4% on your interest rate, assuming interest rates stay where they are today.
And what's our best educated guess right now as to whether we'll qualify for that?
To qualify for that, you'd have to get your school rating up to probably at least a C, if not a B.
And is that a tall order in 5 years for a school such as ours? Do we have any precedent for a school that, you know, came from where we started and expecting to get to the C level?
And see, I'd want to talk to the finance authority, because you guys are such, you're not a typical school. Like, so comparing you to another school that I've worked with saying, hey, could you get to a B or C? You're not the typical school. So I'd want to talk to the state and like the charter school board of saying, okay, this is who Esperanza is. If they maintain these metrics for a period of time to show a track record, to show that they are resilient to the academic hurdles that they have, could they qualify if they show that strength? And so that would be one discussion I'd want to have before I give you that firm response.
So if we qualify, great. If we don't, at that point, I suppose we're going to be in a position to essentially do a new 25-year if
right.
we want. And that rate's going to be comparable to what we'd get with a 30-year public offering right now.
But by that time, you would have more track record.
A little better.
And so I think that instead of being kind of like in today's markets, over six, uh-huh. I think you'd be under six, like in the mid-fives.
So it seems to me like the direct placement gives us some options that we otherwise wouldn't have with the initial public offering.
Yeah. So
the option if we don't qualify is not particularly worse than where we'd be sitting with the 30-year option. It seems to me that that's kind of a no-brainer, unless the costs are significant. What are those comparables between the COI between the public offering and the direct placement?
So just to back up, just to be clear, so the one major risk that we're taking is that in the next 10 years, I guess in the next 5 years, that interest rates go up enough that when we wanted to pull a trigger on a restructure, if interest rates are higher at that time, then you don't have the opportunity to lock in those low interest rates. So that's why locking in a 30-year deal today gives us all comfort. But assuming that there is a period of time in the next 10 years that we could restructure, then yes, I think going the direct placement option is better for you, because you lower your cost of borrowing today, it gives some more flexibility on the finances, and you move forward.
And then I guess the flip side of that scale is, we don't qualify right now. Mm-hmm. We might in 5 years, and if we do, that rate's gonna be a significant savings.
And the other thing too is
so really, in my mind right now, tell me if you perceive that I'm envisioning this wrong. It's the on this side of the balance is the comfort of locking into a rate now that's pretty modest. If we get that, the cost is we forego that opportunity to avail ourselves of that qualified moral obligation.
So just to clarify something there, just to make sure. So when we sell bonds, they're when you sell your mortgage, typical mortgage, you know, if you have a 30-year mortgage, you can refinance or refund or pay that off at any time. When you sell bonds, for the investors, for their return, they for a typical municipal bond, they want called a call protection for a 10-year period of time. And so for a typical bond, before the tax reform, so that may change with tax reform, but it's typical for 10 years, you can't refinance that. So you're gonna be locked into that payment for 10 years. After 10 years, then you can refinance just like you would your mortgage, and you would do that just because you're at a lower interest rate environment. On the direct placement option, you would have like a 4 or 5 year call option, meaning you couldn't refinance for 4 or 5 years. That's gonna give you enough time that you're gonna need that time anyway to kind of improve your financial and academic position. So you're not gonna really be in a position for 4 or 5 years to do that. And so that's why that option is well. So getting to your point, yes, in 4 or 5 years, yes, you can monitor, improve, set goals. We get some more information from the state on if you would qualify for the moral obligation if your academics aren't there, but you can show resiliency.
Dave, are you probably in the best position to give us an informed guess on whether, I'm not asking you to make an informed guess right now, but I'm trying to ascertain who is the guy who's going to be in the best position to give us an informed guess on whether we'll qualify in 4 or 5 years?
On this trajectory, you would qualify.
Yeah, your trajectory right now, if you can maintain academic and financial, absolutely.
What do you mean, absolutely? I think probably.
No, if you can maintain this level of financial like trajectory, you're putting 12% margin away a year. Absolutely. Yeah. There's. I've seen schools in a worse position than that have been approved, obviously.
Yeah, know. That word absolutely makes me nervous. I don't want us having this false...
I would say highly probable.
Okay.
The thing that they're going to look at is if you guys can maintain strong coverage, and if you get your days of cash on hand to 150 days or higher, I think that's going to all offset if the hurdles of the academics, if that's still there.
You'll have to be rated by S&P, and there's a few different categories that they rate you on. One obviously being academics, the other one is, you know, highly strongly on your financials. So like you said, if you've got 150 days cash, you've got high coverage, you've got, you know, a trajectory of a 5-year history of completely increasing every year, then the academics are going to be a smaller piece than the financials at that point, and your rating will still be in that neighborhood. So
but the thing that we're going to have to coordinate is if you, there's talks of expanding, I know that's been put off for a year, that you, if you do expand, that's also going to come into the picture about how that gets factored into this. So if you expand and everything maintains the status quo, like what you're doing here, and you have that same results, then it's going to make it easier because you're bigger, you have more students, and you have, you're economies of scale are going to be more efficient at that time. But if you expand and that's a drag on this, yeah, on these finances, then it's going to hurt your opportunity to do that. So that's another good thing about, but that's another thing is if you do expand here in a couple of years and that's going well, you could take this out and that expansion out into one larger financing, and having a bigger financing, surprisingly, is a little bit easier to do than an $8 million deal.
So I have a sense of how I feel. Others may or may not. To your question about whether we've got a quorum here, what would be the next step and decision that needed to be authorized if we in fact have a quorum here?
And a quorum, or just enough board members you want to say? And if you want to have discussion and get back to me later, what we need to do is tell me which direction you want to go, because it's going to a little bit different course of action on mm-hmm. types of documents.
You're looking for kind of a nod on where to spend your time.
Yeah.
Not any authorized decision to pull the trigger on one option or the other.
No. Okay. Well, once you give me the direction, I'm going to start structuring the transaction, either a public offering or direct placement, at which time we'll come back at a later time after mm-hmm. everyone's done a lot of work to get everything kind of buttoned up for your approval. So today is just more of a direction on which way do you want to go, and then we'll come back later kind of with the formal approvals to get things done.
So all things told, let's take another minute on this option, because we need to move on. But all things told, I have a sense of where I'm leaning mm-hmm. Without tipping my hand. Others have a sense of where they're leaning. If you were coming this fresh without any feedback from us, knowing what the two of you know, what would your end of the day recommendations be?
I like the direct placement for a younger school, because it gives you some flexibility. You're not locked into a 10-year deal. And it gives you some more cash in these earlier years. I like the 30-year deal just because it puts everyone at ease. Because we have a 30-year deal, we don't have to worry about finances anymore, and it's just a 30-year deal. But when we can save potentially a point off of that, and it's real money into the classroom, it's hard to ignore that.
Okay. I don't know if we need a quorum. Maybe we have that, but I think we should give them our collective feedback. And if I'm happy to chime in first, for those reasons and the luxury of having the option to qualify in 4 years, 5 years, and thereby get that reduced rate, I'd like the direct placement. I'm tempted by the comfort and confidence. No one's going to second guess our decision in 5, 10, 20, 30 years if we lock into that rate right now, you know. But I don't think we really need to be. I mean, we can. I think the more paranoid decision would be to lock into the 30 right now. I'm not typically very friendly to risk, but on this kind of a thing, I think I'm inclined to go with the direct placement. Different views?
Yep, I agree with you. Yeah.
I think, Juan, are you with us yet?
Juan is left.
Juan's left the house?
Yeah, he's trying to get back on Zoom. Can you guys hear better now?
Yes.
Okay, good,
Maria's
good.
On.
Maria is on. Angela is on. And Juan was on. So let me just tell him that Zoom is working much better. That one is too slow for some reason.
So Maria and Angela, have you been able to hear and kind of keep up with? No.
No, but it's been too low. Your voices were a little bit low.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, but that's okay.
I can rehash it all if you want me to.
Please no.
And I'm happy to have, like, I know we. I'm happy to have one-off conversations. I know one. If
who's in our finance committee again?
Myself and Ilochio and
Brian.
Cody was on there.
Do you feel the same?
I know. I'm trying to get away.
Yes. I don't know. I think Juan would probably need to be on to discuss a few things that we've talked about. Because as you know, other people are knowing that we're trying to refinance. And they're coming to us with, we can do this amount. And so Juan and I have heard other people saying, make sure you get this amount because we can get you this amount.
So my recommendation would be that we note the decisions that Trish and I have had, have just noted, that we asked Juan to contact, get the benefit of any input that Brian has.
Okay.
And then let you and Juan kind of finish that conversation. And then...
Well, Patricia has also been on a couple of conversations with other people, so maybe the three
of us... That's what I do. If you want me to help with those options, that's what you've hired me to do, is working through those to understand.
With other people?
Mm-hmm. That's my role, is to be your fiduciary, to step in and to help manage that process. So I've had lots of times they come in and say, oh, we can get you that, but it's like...
But different people, I mean, irrespective of whether we have two or 200 different people we're looking at, the two options are going to be primarily under these two categories.
Either we're going to go with this public offering or the direct placement, either route we go.
Well, the thing that's nice is if you give him a direction to go to the direct placement and he can put together a term sheet, then you know exactly where he's at.
And that's kind of what we would think would be necessary because of the other...
Juan is on audio. Juan, can you hear us? Juan?
Oh, but we can.
Yeah, that's what Angela was saying too. They could hear fine now, but we just need our voices a little bit elevated because of the distance of the computer. So,
I can come sit down there if it's helpful.
Oh, he can. Yeah, maybe he can be a little closer. Yeah, the farther they are from the computer, the more difficult it is to hear. So, David is now has come up.
And so, Juan, what I was explaining at that last little bit is you guys have hired me to be your fiduciary on securing the best financing. So if you have other options, I would suggest that if you want to share those with me, then I can use that as leverage on getting you the best transaction altogether. But if there are separate things, conversations being held sideways, then it's hard for me to advise you on what's the best option. Because I've had lots of times people say, oh, promise me this, promise me that, but I need the proof that we can get that done, and I'm not suggesting that you have all options aren't true and they aren't legitimate. I just don't know what they are to be able to truly advise you on what option's the best and what's going to be in your long-term best interest.
Are there people that that use only one FA to do those deals? Exclusivity?
Yes, you only ever have one FA on a transaction that to help you and walk you through the process. Because then you're treating me like an underwriter, where I'm not bringing you a loan. I'm just helping you advise you on what your options are to get the best transaction. And so as soon as you saying, oh, what deal can you bring, what deal can you bring, what deal can you bring, you're treating us like underwriters, and those are arm's length transactions. I'm not an underwriter, I'm a fiduciary sitting on your side of the table advising you on what transaction would be in your best interest. Does that make sense?
So, I mean, maybe you guys can put together what you've got and then, put it together with David and go through it at some
David,
point.
David, that was David, that was Alki.
That was Jeremy.
Jeremy.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry, this is Jeremy. I was just suggesting maybe you guys, the finance committee, Elohio and Juan and...
Patricia
and David, or
no,
Patricia
no,
Brian.
Brian.
Just Brian,
Patricia, and I.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
okay.
Support.
Gotcha. Maybe you guys can get together, talk about the other things that you've talked about, and then after you've hashed out everything you can, get together with David and see what everything comes out.
Okay.
Yeah, because these are just a couple of options. Like, I've heard people saying, "Well, I can get you 4% interest, or I can get you something like that." You also got to look at, that's why I've spent time with Jeremy and you on collecting information of saying, like, we got bids from underwriters saying, hey, we can get you this interest rate. But when you take a whole consideration, the whole package, the whole financing, when you're looking at enrollment and academics and finances, that all gets baked into what the transaction is.
Okay.
So you can't just take, oh, we got good finances, we got the deal done. You have to look at it holistically to say, what's going to happen?
So let's wind this up. Let's have Trisha, Juan, and Elohio talk, discuss those issues. You know my input on the issue. And then if it's not different than what you guys conclude, let's send Dave the signal that we want him to start looking at the direct placement option.
Okay.
Anything else, Dave?
Nope. Yeah. So I'm just at your leisure, convenience.
Great.
I need the direction now to be able to do my work to get this deal transacted. So
we get it. We'll try to get that to you as soon as we can.
So should I reach out? Let me reach out to the Locio and set up a meeting. And so yeah, I can meet most any day next week. So
I'll make the time to meet in.
Okay. I'll shoot you an email then tonight on a couple of days that work next week.
That works
for you?
Yes. Yes, that works. And then we'll talk with Juan and Patricia and
Brian.
And Brian. So to make sure that we got all the information that we need.
Yeah.
And then we'll move from there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very good.
Yeah, I just want all the information so that you guys get the best deal.
This is a board approval process. It's just a direction that you're moving for us to give us more information. So it's our group that will we'll make that decision.
Yeah. I simply wanted to come tonight to make sure that the board knew what the options were. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm
good.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dave, for coming.
Thank you so much.
Okay, let's. Most of us had a chance to look at the minutes already, real quick. I didn't see anything out of the ordinary there, so I'm going to make a motion to. Please go ahead.
I don't think they're right at all. I don't think it's the full file. Here's why. As I was looking through it, I'm like, oh yeah, it's looking good, and then I noticed.
Thank you. I can share those.
Let's do that sooner than later. Thanks, Dave.
Julia was here, but I think she came in October. Did we meet in October? We didn't miss a month.
Did we? Yes, we did. We missed December.
December, but not October.
No.
We'll
be in touch.
Thank you, David.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Jeremy.
I think I know. As far as the direction, Graham, I think it's clear. I'm totally with you, Marty. Okay.
We're looking at the minutes right now. I don't know if you guys got it on email, Juan, Maria, Angela.
Yes, I
think you emailed. No, we're looking at them right now.
Juan, did you notice anything with them?
Sorry?
Did you notice anything with the minutes?
Did you send them to Juan?
No, I think the minutes were fine. I went to them and I didn't see any problems.
I'm just really not sure. But it's been 2 months, so. But I don't remember Julia being here with us during November. That's my problem. So I'm looking through this, and I don't see any of the pieces about...
You think these are from October?
I'm thinking it's like half and half. Like somehow this file is not full. So I'm what I meant to do is open up the actual minutes, listen to it, follow it, and make sure that it's good.
Okay.
Because I don't want to put it if it's not the right...
You can't approve next time, can't you, Marty?
Yeah. Let's just deal with it next time.
Okay. Because then I can resolve it and...
Okay.
We're going to move the approval of the minutes to next month.
We don't need a motion for that. We'll just wait for them. Okay. Let's go to the approval of the school lunch program. Logio.
School lunch program. So approval is not yet necessary because I'm going to bring back some policies that need to be approved by the board. As far as pricing goes, when do we offer an alternative lunch for a kid that hasn't paid, and those kinds of things? We don't have to have them until at the very latest in May, but I want to have them all done in April. And so I have asked Granite School District and the state to provide me some sample policies, and so we don't need to approve anything at this time. But I did want to mention to you that I attended a meeting. We submitted the application. They're considering the application. They tell me that it's 99.999% certain they'll approve it. If not, they'll call me and ask me to change some things on it. We did get help from our future consultant to complete the application. And so we're just moving forward. There's nothing to approve at this time.
Okay, thank you. As I mentioned earlier, I need to leave at 10 after, and I wanted to get a update on the replication application. So let's leapfrog a couple of items to that point, if you don't mind.
No, that's good. So several people attended the meeting. I think Patricia was there. Juan was there. Anybody else?
Red Apple.
Red Apple was there.
Maria
Parrilla also showed up, and we were interviewed. They decided that we needed one more year of work and data before they approved it. They took a straw poll to see where people stood. Three people were ready to let us open the doors in Ogden. Three people said they were not ready, and three said they need one more year.
Really?
Yeah. So we were shocked, including Red Apple, including the association that was there, the representatives were there. We were all surprised that they did not approve it. Rebecca Cisneros reached out to me and Juan, and we met with her over the phone. She's going to help us complete an Exhibit A, which restructures the charter agreement. She believes that the 26 goals are extremely difficult to focus on. And so we're going to pare it down to...
Because they're too numerous? Because
they're too many. They're too many.
Yeah.
Juan, did she say three or four? Or did she give us a number at the end? I'm forgetting.
She said 3 to 4.
Yeah, 3 to 4. I don't think she settled on one. That's it.
And one or two, she said that most people do 1 or 2 goals related to the mission of the school.
The mission of the school.
We don't have to do two.
And yeah. How did those goals, did those goals relate to the fact that they didn't approve it?
No.
That was a sideline.
That's a sideline. That's a different thing. So
there was a question by one of the interviewers that focused on that issue related to too many goals.
Yes, and Rebecca says that was the primary reason for not wanting to move forward, because we had too many goals.
Those three that
you think that's the primary reason?
That's yeah. That's
we're not moving forward with the application.
Those three kind of, I think, voting together in that they felt we couldn't reach all our goals because we had too many. And as a result, us postponing on some of our goals, which is necessary because
now.
We couldn't do even some assessment processes for those because the kids, we haven't got our kids all in the model yet.
Yeah.
And so it makes sense. We thought about it even when we were walking in that we were worried about our number of goals. Yeah. We put them in there, Marty, because we wanted to open the first school, and that all of those things we were told had to be addressed, and so we addressed them as goals. And now they're reversing that and saying, well, you're kind of established now, so you should have reestablished your focus of your goals.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Rebecca...
And that was the maybe one of the stated drivers of why they didn't approve it.
Yes, because...
Did you sense that there were some unstated, anything in between the lines?
No, because we asked, what can we work on to make sure that we're a shoo-in next time? And they said, stay the course.
That was our feedback.
That was our feedback. Mm-hmm. Stay the course.
So there is a situation, and we just heard again about our academics. Our end size, our numbers of students is still really...
I'm sorry, they talked about the academics?
Well, he just talked about
for our loan.
Yeah.
And we have that situation where our academics, we thought would be improving a lot faster, and we just didn't realize that we have a lot of students that weren't in the model, and so as they're moving up, it's looking good, but it's going to take them time to get up to that level of sixth grade, and we've got data for K through six, but our data K through three looks a lot different than our data 4 through 6.
Now the good news, and Juan, correct me if I'm wrong, the good news is that Rebecca is putting the Exhibit A, the restructuring of the goals and everything, from the information that I submitted for the replication. So she's going to, it'll be a 2 or 3 page Exhibit A, and then she will work with us to make sure that we get it to where we want it to be.
And is that just a reformulation?
Of the charter.
Distilling of the goal?
Correct.
The goals, takes the 20
into 3 or 4, yeah. And she will do that for us, and then give it to us, and then we can massage it and change it any which way we want. If it's changed drastically, she wants to be involved in the process. Because once it's ready, and Juan, again, make sure that I'm saying the right thing, she will put it on the calendar as a consent item. And we don't have to show up, we don't have to approve it, we don't have to do anything. It'll be on the consent calendar if we both agree. Rebecca and us agree that this is the way we want to move forward.
So is the notion that we need to focus and move forward and wait a year? Or do they only make a decision once a year?
They only make a decision once a year.
So we don't have a choice.
Yeah,
they're not thinking that we need some maturation for another year. Okay.
No. Well, they just need to reform.
You just might not have to show up next year. We'll just vote on you.
Correct.
So one of the things in this, looking at the charter, is the issue related to we put some of our scores for achievement at much, much higher than what is even happening at the state level for kids that are like our type of students.
Well, for any kid. So it says that our kids will be at 89% proficient. The state average is 48, and Bountiful Elementary School up on the mountain, it's about 89%. And we said we would be at 89%.
And there were numbers of us on the groundwork of that that wanted it to be moved down to more like 60, but our founder was really adamant that there was an idea that we could get there.
Sure.
We can get there.
Yeah,
we just can't get there in the amount of time that we need to prove to the state that we are good enough to open another school. So we probably need to look at that. Our founding group, our founders.
Now, the state average for Latinos is 23.
I thought there was some
average
pause behind the curtain.
Our founder group.
Yeah. The state average for Latinos is 23 for math, 23 for science, 23 for language arts. That's the state average for Latinos.
And if you look at where our younger kids are, you can see why we were so ambitious with putting the whole school would be at 89, but now recognizing our model system and how we have to grow into it, it wasn't realistic what we were thinking as a founding group.
Well, a lot of principals' plans, they set their goals at 2% increase a year, and that's it.
I know, so we really didn't understand that when we set our charter goals.
Will this delay dishearten any of our new board members?
No. I've talked to them. They're all good.
Thanks. I'm sorry.
Thanks,
thank you.
Marty.
Okay. Did you want to take over?
Well, I think Juan is on.
Oh, Juan, did you want to do the meeting for the rest of it, or you want Patricia or somebody? What would you like?
I think Patricia or somebody can do that because I can super well.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, that's fine. So I think he had gotten to which number?
The lunch program, and then we went to the replication as part of my report.
I am on the wrong one, sorry. Yeah.
So the committees.
Okay, so committees.
Well, he just left the governance. he just left. That.
That's okay. So, yeah. and we have been talking
about the finance.
Right, and which is all of the governance.
Sure.
So we're okay there. There are no motions or anything that needed actions to be taken. We've dealt with the finance. Brian's already presented. Academic and culture. And that's Janet, who is out.
Well, it sounds like now there's a new reason to meet so that we can fix the problem with the goals, right?
Right.
That's part of what we did before.
Right. And so what on the goals, so she's putting this Exhibit A, and she's going to give it to me and Juan. And then Juan and I are going to look at it, and if we agree with everything, then we're just going to kick it back to her so she can put it on the consent calendar, and that's going to be our new charter that we have to follow. And when we go
but
back,
but isn't there some kind of component before it's kicked back to her that the board needs to look at?
Oh yes, yes, she did say that, right, Juan?
Yeah, I think there's it has to be recorded that the
board has to approve Exhibit A before
exactly.
It goes back to the state, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Is Exhibit A like a standard state plan or something?
If we really, really work very fast, we'll have it in 3 months.
Yeah.
So this is.
We go through two meetings, I think at the state level, which are monthly meetings, so that's why you cannot be faster.
Right. In our set, our monthly.
Those are. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're hoping to have it by March, April.
Good.
He's working on it right now.
Okay, so this was what we were attempting to do, Juan, in my opinion, by trying to put on our agenda each meeting to go through certain numbers of items of the charter. If she's willing to do that in a faster level than we were trying to do it with all the other things that we're having to deal with, I say we look at it and then bring it to board and approve.
Yeah, we'll bring
if it can come out electronically to board members to look at prior to meeting, it will make it much faster.
We'll do that.
Okay. So that takes care of that. discussion information, the 401k alternatives and bid process?
Oh, the 401k. We decided, we got bids from other companies, and it was not a savings for us.
Okay.
So what we decided to do is stay with a current organization, the Utah Charter Association, and so nothing needs to change there either.
Okay, so then there's no actions or anything on that item, so we can move on to item two, the executive director principal report.
And my computer was not functioning. Oh, wait, it is functioning now. Let me see if I can share the screen with you all. Let's see.
So you shared with us on replication?
No, this computer, the little computer went dead earlier, and it took a while to get back to work. So
I cannot see it.
You can't see it. I am not able to find it at this point. So let me just quickly see if I can find it. If not, I'm just gonna verbally tell you. Oh, I think it's here. Hold on. Just one second. And it is January. I'm going to try to share, so if there's any problem, that's why. Just one second. Anybody see the share screen? Oh, right there.
What's the name of the meeting you had went to?
Can you see it?
State board. State charter.
No?
I can see it.
Juan?
I joined by audio.
Oh, that's correct.
By video to see this time I can see it.
You can see it?
I'm going to try. I'm
going to
try.
We'll see you in the mail.
See? Excelente. You can all see it in a minute too.
Is that your dinner?
You can see it there now, right? Can everybody see it except Juan?
You can see even more than once a day.
Maria.
I can.
Great. You can see it now. Okay. So I'll go through that very quickly. It's playing. I shared with some of you earlier, we have a tremendous growth in our mariachi program. We went from 9 kids last year, 40 in the fall, and 80 right now. And so we're having some problems with all the kids that want to join the mariachi with instruments, and we're already spent the funds that we had for all the instruments. And so a couple of people are a little upset, the parents, that their kids are not in the mariachi. And so we're having just some challenges there, but I think they're all manageable.
How do you handle 80?
The student of the month continues to draw a lot of kids to our Facebook page, where we get at least 500 hits on our page every time we post those pictures right away. So a couple of things have happened since the beginning of the year. We did have a teacher that had lost her visa and they were not renewing it in time, so she had to leave the country. But she's back. She came back on Monday. Right, Crystal? Monday? This Monday? And so she is good there. I don't know if we've mentioned it before, but Crystal is graduating.
Hey, Crystal.
In April. Yay. And so she's a very, very uncertain about her future. But she does know that she will not be the office manager next year. So the best we can hope for is she may want to return as a teacher for a year. But that's being hopeful. She may leave us.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It's not over yet.
What else? Our enrollment is a little bit higher than last month because some kids came back from Mexico and re-enrolled. So we had about 7 kids that came back.
Uh-huh.
we enrolled a few more, but then we did have, I know there was a couple that I didn't know that were coming back, and so they did come back. We do need to stay between 500 and 515, so we're right at 510, so we're not concerned at all at this point. And we did talk briefly about the lunch program. The application is in, and we are talking to our consultant about how we're going to run it and pay for new employees. It'll be the whole program for the whole year. It's going to be close to $300,000 for the year and new funding and a lot of work because we need to hire people, purchasing, all of those things. So maybe that's why Crystal is leaving. It's going to be a lot of work. And I'm sorry you didn't hear the mariachi, but we invited him to come tonight to perform a couple of three songs for us, and they did an excellent job. They were at the Capitol this morning. The Lieutenant Governor was there. Several senators came to talk to Alan, the mariachi teacher, and the superintendent was there as well. So we had hundreds of people that were giving them a huge ovation for their work. Yeah, we're not gonna. That's one of the songs they sang. Okay, that is the report. I don't have, I didn't bring the calendar to approve it yet because we have a few things that we're working on, but it's pretty much final. It'll be here in February to get final approval.
Okay.
And I believe that's it.
So thank you, Lohio.
Hey,
yes.
Have you talked about the retreat?
No, so here's the little thing that happened. We were talking about going to Park City, and all the hotels there require a two-night stay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I could not find one that was okay with just one night, and so, but they're very inexpensive as soon as they stop skiing. I mean, we can get them for like $75 a night, and right now they're about $300 a night. But as soon as the ski places close, it goes down to about $75 to $100 a night. So I don't know if you still want to go to Park City, but it will be a two-night engagement instead of just the one.
Is there any way that they would let us meet and rent a room?
Just rent it for the day?
But then people could decide to stay there if they want,
and then
we could pay like some kind of a stipend or support.
When I called, they said you need to have two nights
in order
for
to
each
even
room.
Book a room.
To book a room, you need two nights per room.
No, I meant like to have a meeting, a board meeting. Right?
So just the space.
To rent the space.
No rooms.
Or a meeting room.
Would it be so bad if we went back to Ogden?
No,
it would be fine. That's why I didn't make any commitments. I thought I'd bring it back to the board and say, if we want to go to Park City, it's going to be two nights. And right now, like I said, right now they're very, very expensive. But I think in May, that's when they go down. And in June, they're like $75 a room. And they're very, very nice.
The library there at the center of the town, it'll be just booked a room there.
That's what I'm talking
Where?
About. The library.
Just keep it simple.
Now, I can go back and ask to see if we can rent a conference room. I'm sure that
we
can do that.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. That's
yeah,
what I'm
without any
right. And then
staying overnight.
And then if persons wanted to stay overnight, they could decide to do that on their own, and then we could offer a stipend or something for doing that.
Okay, but they would have to stay for two nights.
We could do it Saturday.
Individually, they could.
They have to. You have to. Even if you book just one room for yourself, you have a two-night.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah? What were you saying, Juan?
Like Patricia is saying, we could reserve a conference room on a Saturday.
Okay.
And spend all Saturday there.
Okay. I can reach out to them and see if we can just rent the meeting room with no hotel rooms. Yeah, I'll reach out to them and bring back the information for next Do we have a time? Because they, I mean, like right now, we wouldn't be able to go because they're too expensive. I'm sure they're too expensive.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't expect that we want to go.
So June? Still?
I'd say June.
June. Beginning to middle of June. Okay, I'll go back to them and get it back to us in February, Juan.
So then we have a PTO representative here.
They just came. They did the report earlier.
And so I just wanted to mention that they did do the report earlier. And is there anything you want to state?
No, pretty much what Shalene said, unless you want to review anything else, but just pretty much what she said.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, and it's in the, I think we got it, did we get it on the minutes?
No.
On the recording?
Wasn't recorded.
It wasn't recorded. So what she talked about was that we're not doing every Friday, Popcorn Friday, and we're doing it once a month. And it is kind of creating more revenue for that one day. We used to sell $150 to $200, and now the last time we did it was $500.
Yeah, that's right.
And so, what else did she
talk
about?
She brought up Valentine activities that are coming up.
Yeah, we'll have a Valentine's dance for the kids. We do it like for less than an hour, about 45 minutes per pod. And the PTO brings a DJ, and they play music, and the kids dance, and the faculty and staff dance. Right.
They're also selling, like, Valentine grams.
Yeah, they're selling Valentine's gram for $1 each, I believe.
Right.
So, I think that was...
Yes? Has anyone thought about doing, like, a painting class or something, I don't know, something in addition to the mariachi band?
For what?
We have
folkloric dancers, that a lady that comes and teaches that class to kids, and we target a grade each year. So we've done 6th, 5th, 4th, and we're working with 3rd right now, and they will be performing again in May.
That's nice.
And we do also have some art, Mad Dog arts that were coming before, but we lost the grant. A lot of the humanities lost the grants for that and the after-school programs, and so we won't be able to host those people that were coming before.
Is your chess meet in-house? Is it a school chess meet? I just saw it on the door out there. 28th.
No.
Oh, yeah,
we do have a chess tournament for our kids only, and then we'll be participating in a chess tournament in Utah County again. One more. Do you know what it is?
We did have one last 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago, and we have one more before the end of the year. Okay, that's it.
Okay, so
are there any sports teams there?
No,
not yet. Not yet. There are too many soccer teams everywhere, and the kids.
We should try something new.
Trust me.
Do cheerleading, but
like volleyball. Tennis for the kids.
Yeah, we need to do something that is not available because every kid is in a soccer team someplace, and so if we do something, we're going to do something else.
Cool.
But we got to get our academics in order first.
Okay, so thank you everybody for being patient with our electronics
technology
tonight, and our next board meeting we can set. We had it tentatively as February 22nd. 6 to 8, so that we could set that tonight. I think that's a good time.
Yep.
Anybody objecting or having any issues with us? So our board is set for February 22nd. Our board meeting is adjourned at 7:28. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you very much for...
PTO report?
I'm sorry?
We don't have a PTO report?
They just did.
Yeah, we just did it. You didn't hear it?
No, I couldn't hear it.
Oh,
because he probably thought that I would...